When the president said we were airdropping to Ukraine twice, he meant Gaza, correct? He just misspoke.
He was referring to Gaza.
What you got there?
It's a McGriddle sandwich from McDonald's.
What's in it?
It's good. It's like a bacon, egg, and cheese sandwich. Except it's got these two griddle cakes with the taste of maple syrup inside.
That's bizarre.
Give us the gate key.
I have no gate key.
I see. There his arms are.
Oh, you mean this gate key?
Far out in the uncharted backwaters of the unfashionable end of the western spiral arm of the galaxy lies a small, unregarded yellow sun. Orbiting this, at a distance of roughly 90 million miles, is an utterly insignificant little blue-green planet, whose ape-descended life forms are so amazingly primitive that they still think digital watches are a pretty neat idea. This planet has, or had, a problem, which was this. Most of the people living on it were unhappy for pretty much of the time.
Genuinely. Genuinely. People used to be happier.
Good morning, America. How are you? I am Rabbi Dave, and I am no longer sitting naked in front of my camera.
I'm Friar Rod, and I'm trying to be thankful that Dave is no longer naked in front of his camera because
it made you unhappy.
It made me unhappy, Dave.
Well, it is a reality of our world that people, for some reason, are unhappy since the time we ape-like creatures descended from the trees. Even with our digital watches, we seem to be unhappy. The question we are asking today, the question that we will delve into today, is why are we so unhappy? I know you're saying to yourself, that seems like an odd topic for a podcast that is ostensibly about life, the universe, and everything.
Mm-hmm.
But stick with us. You may learn something. Because as it turns out, there is, in fact, an answer as to why we are so unhappy. It's not what you're thinking. And it's not that Rod's objections that made him unhappy prevent you from getting to see me do this podcast naked. But look, $5.99 a month. I only need 300 subscribers. I could make my mortgage payment.
That's
all I'm saying. There's got to be 300 of you out there that are willing to do that. Send your emails to WTF@whatthefrock.org. So let's start there, Rod. Why? I almost called you Bill. I almost called Bill Rod, and I almost called you Bill.
That's okay.
That's the problem with having too many co-hosts. That makes me unhappy. Why
you
are
just need us, hey, you need to get us both together in the same show.
You know, I think that would be a great idea. And actually, I think I've thought about that in the past. I thought he'd be a great addition to this show. The problem is, and this is something that makes me unhappy, Bill is a technological Luddite.
Okay.
When he's in the studio, he's fine. Because in the studio, he has computers and you can do all this stuff and we can communicate. But when he's not in the studio, which he is not on Sunday mornings, even though you think he is because he does a program on Sunday mornings called the Florida Roundtable, but that's pre-recorded. It's not live. So because he doesn't have a computer at home and he uses a cell phone, and we all know how cell phones make people unhappy because there's a technical reason for it. How do I explain this? Oh yeah, they sound like shit.
Mm-hmm.
So he won't do the things that are necessary, Rod, to be a happy part of us.
Well, you know, being that he's a technical Luddite, I guess that explains why he, you know, as a man desperate in need of an AI girlfriend, he doesn't have one.
Well, that or a Jewish girlfriend, from what I hear. So.
True. Yeah.
Things change. Who knows? But what are some of the reasons? Let's get back on track here before we get too far afield. What are some of the things that make us unhappy? What are some reasons that make us unhappy?
I don't know. I mean, for me, alarm clocks. Having those go off in the middle of the morning when you're trying to sleep, that's kind of not a good way to start the day.
Sorry. I was ready to go early.
Yeah.
Because I tried to sleep in, but I couldn't because I had a very unhappy day yesterday. You know what makes me unhappy?
No, Dave.
Customer fucking service.
Oh.
So, you got to understand how we think sometimes. And I know my opulent lifestyle here will confuse some of you, but I am not wealthy by any stretch of the imagination. Nor, I had a discussion last night about why I don't charge for podcasts, why I don't sell ads on podcasts.
Uh-huh.
And what it came down to is, do you have any idea how much paperwork that is for the IRS? And I don't want to do that. So yeah, that's why I don't. Consequently, I am what you would refer to as technically middle class, but, you know, like most people in this world, we go payday to payday for the most part. We have some savings, but not a lot. So anyway, a few months ago, our dishwasher died. Okay.
What was his name?
Ted. The dishwasher is, it's an important part of our world because we have a 13-year-old son and another adult child that lives at home. So we go through a lot of dishes. With me here? Dishwashers are convenient. And most importantly, and this is something that I guess I just didn't really understand, dishwashers, electric dish, like you have on your, they use a lot less water than you do if you try to wash them yourself. A lot less water than if you use them, do them yourself. But being the cheap son of a bitch that I am, when the dishwasher died, we have a home warranty system. So I called them up. I said, hey, the dishwasher's dead. And they said, great. We're happy to help with that. That'll be $175. Oh, and we need you, because you're there, to get down on your hands and knees, pull the dishwasher out of the wall, and read the serial number off the bottom of it to us.
Yep.
And I said, dude, I have no knees. I cannot get on the floor to pull the thing out to do this. And they said, well, we can't do anything until we have that. So I got mad and said, screw you. I'm not doing that. Instead of saying to my other dishwasher, hey, you need to pull this thing out.
Which is
what I should have done, but it seemed gauche. Anyway, so for probably the last 6 months, we haven't had a dishwasher. Maybe even
for
longer.
6 months?
Maybe even longer than that. Well, we do it by hand. I mean,
okay.
I spent $40 on a thing on Amazon, a dishwasher, dishwashing rack to dry them and stuff. And of course, our water bill doubled. And so so all of these things we were done because I'm too cheap to hire somebody to do this. Anyway, yesterday we had a little bit of extra funding, and so we decided we were going to go buy a dishwasher. So we went to the local place where you might get a Best Buy, but probably not, otherwise known as Amazon showroom. And we went there thinking, well, we'll just pick up a dishwasher. And then we had this big discussion in the store about, well, are we going to have them install it, deliver it and install it, or can we do it ourselves? And I reiterated my position that it makes me very unhappy to think about getting on my hands and knees, pulling this thing out and putting the new one in. I cannot do this. Sorry. So we decided that we were going to do it ourselves. Picked out the one we wanted, that was wanted. Said to the customer service rep, hey, we'd like to buy a dishwasher. And she said, I'll be with you in just 1 minute. Which, of course, was a blatant lie. There's no way that it was going to be a minute.
Yeah.
20 minutes later, I went over to the customer service desk and said, hey, we're trying to buy a dishwasher here. I'll have somebody meet you over there in just a second. Which also turned out to be a lie. So about 45 minutes later, she finally comes over there and I don't know why we stayed. I don't.
For 45 minutes, yeah.
Anyway, because we needed a dishwasher. So she says, we want this dishwasher. And she says, great, I'm happy to help. Oh, we don't have that one in stock. So, well, do you have the next one up in stock? Oh, no, we don't have that one in stock. In fact, the only ones we have in stock are new open and box ones that were returned. And they're over here in the corner. Now, the one we wanted to buy, not, you know, telling any tales out of school here or anything, relatively inexpensive. the kind of inexpensive that makes you think, why in the hell didn't I do this 7 months ago?
Yeah.
You know, because what we've spent just in water and dishwashing tools to do it by hand would have easily paid for this. That kind of inexpensive. So we walk over there to the ones that are open in box, and she says, these ones were returned, but we'll give you $50 off them if you want one of these. These are the only ones we can deliver today. And of course, they're $900 dishwashers.
Uh-huh.
So you're going to knock $50 off that, huh? Thanks. Anyway, we don't have it in stock today, but she says, you could go to Spanaway and get it. They have them in stock today. Now, for those
Spanaway.
Of you not looking at them, Spanaway is the Pacific Northwest equivalent of Keys.
Keys.
Except that, like, Keys or Ceres.
Okay.
Except Keys is like a suburb of Ceres, right? You knew that.
Yeah. Okay. I was thinking. Yeah, I was just thinking you were referencing a business called Keys.
Oh, no.
I was like, what?
That's for the Central Valley people. For those of you not Central Valley people, Keys is kind of the.
Yeah.
Anyway.
It's a turnoff on the 99.
Right. Except that instead of being 20 minutes away from me, it's all the way south of Tacoma, which is 45 minutes away. Miles away. So 45 miles away. It's a good hour and a half.
Just a jaunt. Another 45 minutes.
But what you got to keep in mind is that my wife is from that area. And as soon as she said, well, they have them in Spanaway, my wife said, well, that's good. I wanted to go to Chick-fil-A anyway. Now I get to drive to Spanaway, which we did. Of course, by the time we get to Spanaway, it's snowing in freaking Tacoma, which means I get to stand outside the warehouse in the snow while they rattle around inside to get this thing. They finally get it. Of course, my wife, whom I love dearly, is going on and on about, will it fit? Is it going to fit? And I'm like, yes, it's going to fit. It fits perfectly. It's not a problem. Drive back. Now we don't got no place to put it in the garage. So what are we going to do with it? Well, I thought you were going to install this. Well, we're not going to install it today.
Yes.
Why do we need to go to Spanaway? Anyway, this made me very unhappy. Customer service makes me very unhappy. But there are other reasons why I'm unhappy.
Okay. Let's hear.
Our state Senate here in the great state of Washington passed a law on Friday. It's not become law yet because obviously the governor hasn't signed it. Passed a law banning natural gas in the state of Washington. Kind of. What they did was they banned PG&E, Pacific Gas and Electric, or no, I'm sorry, PSE, Puget Sound Electric. You can tell sometimes I'm in California.
Mm-hmm.
PSE, Pacific Sound, Puget Sound Electric, from, quote, installing any new gas hookups and eventually disconnecting all the ones that are there, and requiring all homeowners who have gas to, quote, electrify their homes at a cost, estimated cost, of between $50,000 and $75,000, depending on
per house.
What you need per house. Oh, and my state senator voted for this.
Ugh.
After, and I'm not making this up, you can go look it up yourself. It's on the internet. You can find it. After she posted a picture of herself last week when we all lost power because of the snow, with her feet in front of her own gas fireplace with the caption that, thank gosh we have gas so that I can warm my tootsies when we lose electrical power.
Wow. That's called disconnected.
She cannot understand. She is unhappy about the fact that people are calling her stupid and hypocritical. And she's confused by this. She's unhappy with this because this is supposed to save the planet by electrifying all these houses, except that nobody in this freaking Senate stopped to say to themselves, well, where does the electricity come from?
Yeah, it's usually gas-generated plants, right? Or generating plants.
Right, which I thought we were trying to get rid of.
Yeah.
So we're going to have wind and solar in the Pacific Northwest.
That'll work. Let's
say that again. The Pacific Northwest. We're going to rely on solar to electrify tens of thousands of homes and buildings and restaurants and all this stuff that were using gas before, but now can't. Presuming that Governor Inslee, the man who got less votes for president than Kamala Harris, actually signs the bill, which I'm assuming he will, and I realize what happens when you assume. The problem that he has is his own vice governor, ass governor, is a guy by the name of Denny Heck, who you might remember, you might not. Denny Heck used to be a congressman, and Denny Heck is one of the people who is most affected by TDS, Trump derangement syndrome.
Yes.
He is rabidly anti-Trump. In fact, his entire lieutenant gubernatorial campaign, I'm not making this up, you can look at this, his entire lieutenant governor, ass governor of Washington State, literally almost as far as you can get away from Washington, D.C., without being in Alaska and Hawaii. Okay? His entire campaign was, as lieutenant governor of the state of Washington, I'll take on Donald Trump.
Oh, my gosh.
Who, by the way, was out of office by the time Denny Heck was in the ass governor's office. So what have we heard from Denny Heck since? Nothing.
Nothing.
Until yesterday when he announced that this bill is, quote, a hot mess. First off, it's stupid. I mean, that's the first problem that they have with it. Second problem with it that they have with it is that it violates the rules of the Senate in that they changed it at the last second, never had a hearing, never had a public, nothing. And then passed it. And thirdly, there is a distinct, direct Supreme Court case from the state of California that went all the way to the United States Supreme Court that basically says you can't do that. But does the state of Washington and my senator, Emily Randall, care about any of that while they're warming their tootsies in front of the fire because the electricity went out when it was snowing again? No, they don't give a damn about that.
No.
They want to save the world by getting rid of natural gas. And this makes me unhappy.
Yeah. Okay.
And if you've been around me for the last 24 hours, you know how unhappy about this I am. Because I haven't stopped bitching about this for the last 24 hours.
Complaints with Dad yet again.
Is that enough for you to be unhappy?
Yeah, I guess so.
How about we learned this week? Did you know this? We learned this week that NATO troops are on the ground in Ukraine.
Did we really learn that this week? Or because isn't that kind of an assumption that happened as soon as we started giving them weapons?
We learned that as a fact. Of course, you didn't read that in the New York Times. You read that in a dispatch, a recorded phone call between countries in Europe that got accidentally leaked, talking about the fact that troops are on the ground. Now, ostensibly, they're there to train and advise, but they're training and advising how to point missiles to hit targets in Russia, which is also interesting because how did they find these targets in Russia? I hear you cry.
Isn't the U.S. giving them a lot of information?
And how are we getting that information?
We're gathering it and we're giving it to them.
How are we doing that? As it turns out, American F-35 stealth fighters are in the air over the area and are being used to pinpoint the Russian missile sites that we then just happen to give to the Ukrainian advisors and trainers who then help them point the missiles in the right direction.
Well, you know, information just wants to be free, Dave. It just wants to be free.
This makes me unhappy. Because as it turns out, I mean, what exactly is an act of war? Does anybody know?
That's a good question. Love to have that defined, and they're not going to define it, Dave, just so they can do exactly what they're doing today.
It's right up to that edge.
Yeah.
Right up to that.
What line? Oh, this line.
Right up to that almost edge of, is this an act of war or not? Well, we didn't fire the missile. Let's see. We found it. We targeted it. We sent the information to the computer that targets it. We loaded that information into the computer. We loaded the missile, for God's sakes. And then we said to them, here, push this button right here.
Yeah. This is how you do it. right here, that button, right there, just like that.
I don't know about anybody else, but it's been, what, 2 weeks since we sent a bunch of $1 billion to Ukraine, right?
I don't know why that comes to mind, that the Princess Bride, and they're walking up to the gates of the castle, and they're like, give us the gate key. I have no gate key. Fedzik tears arms off. Oh, you mean this gate key?
It makes me unhappy. It makes me unhappy. It just, between that and, I swear to God, I had to turn off the news yesterday, the local news yesterday. I had to turn it off because really? They were just talking about, the way they were talking about things was just, I started to tape it because I was going to send it to Bill and Rod and say, can you believe this? But I couldn't bring myself to do it because it was so bad. It was so argumentative about how conservative groups here in Washington are opposing these common sense ballot measures that will make all of our lives better by raising our taxes through the roof.
Don't you love it when they add that tag common sense to anything?
Yes, as opposed to conservative groups that are opposing it.
Yeah.
Common sense. And I just said, you know what?
Common sense gun reform. Common sense this. It's like, wait a second.
I got to turn.
I want some common sense politicians, please.
It's been focus tested. You know that.
Yeah.
So anyway, I turned it off. And one of the things that kind of makes me happy, I have a friend of mine from the submarine that convinced me last summer that audiobooks are the way to go.
And
he's not wrong. So I've been listening to audiobooks like for the last two or three days. It's just, I just load that up, and someday I'll tell you about the one I'm listening to right now, which is called The Last Outlaws, which is a fantastic book.
So do you walk around the house with headphones on like your son?
I do. Well, actually what I do is I just put it on speaker because everybody else has headphones on. So, which makes me unhappy because they're just ignoring me and you can't talk. I hate trying to talk to my son anymore. It makes me very unhappy because you can't, number one, you got to get him to get his headphones off, which takes work. Mm-hmm. And then I don't know what it is. Is there something in 13-year-olds that just, you got to say it to him 4 times.
Yeah.
What? I just said, unplug the one on top. Which one on top? There's only one.
Let me tell you, Dave, from my experience at 22, it doesn't change much from what you're describing at 13.
And he's talking like this. And you're like, yeah, yeah. I'm like, what the heck did you just say?
Well, and then they get mad at you.
Yeah, then they get mad. I said it 4 times, just like you. This makes me unhappy. But even these things, which make me unhappy, Rod, are not amongst the 10 things that are making us actually unhappy.
Okay.
Which, because this is what we do, we shall delve into after this short but loving break.
No, we have retail and we have wholesale. We have pink packets and blue packets. Republicans and Democrats and the party that crazy midget started. So many choices. How they all love their free will. Everybody has a different point of view. There should be only one point of view. My point of view. Well, I have a message for these humans. The buffet is about to close.
You're right. It should have been short but happy break.
It
but
is.
I wasn't thinking that because I'm unhappy.
Well, Rabbi Dave, it could happen that you're unhappy, but there's got to be some things that are making us as people in general unhappy.
Well, Friar Rod, here is a list of scientifically proven.
Oh, okay.
Scientifically proven 10 things that are making us unhappy.
So did Fauci approve this? Because he is science.
Let's see. I'm going to take a genius and check out 10 unusual factors that have been linked empirically to feeling unhappy. You will not be surprised to learn that the number one, I don't even know if these are in order. I think they are, but I'm not sure.
Okay.
Because they didn't put them on order. This comes from the University of Michigan. A guy by the name of Ethan Cross, who found a direct correlation between these things. Okay. Number one that he lists here is, nobody will be surprised. He calls it Facebook. I would just call it social media.
All right. Yeah, we get tired of looking at the best lives of people, you know, the fake lives of people.
Yeah. On the surface, it provides an invaluable resource for fulfilling the basic human need for social connection. But rather than enhance well-being, we found that its use predicts the opposite. It undermines your basic need for human social connection. Because as it turns out, you hate everybody there. Other studies have backed these findings up, blaming the compare and despair envy effect of social media. Okay. And it's not just social media. It could be the internet in its entirety, which I would agree with, except that you need the internet to play No Man's Sky. So,
yeah, you do. With friends.
That's number one. You ready for number two?
I'm ready for number two.
This is the one look, I got 99 problems, but this ain't one of them.
Mm-hmm.
Too much money.
What?
Money is important to your lifestyle, but some research has shown that very wealthy people actually suffer from higher rates of depression. They interviewed 89,000 people in 18 different countries, found that depression was more likely to hit those living in the high income bracket than the poorer ones. France, by the way, the highest with 21% occurrence of depression, 6.5% in China, which was the lowest. Oh.
But they're French.
Yeah, I agree, but this is what's making you unhappy, is that you have too much money, which I'm happy to announce I have a solution to, which is I'll be launching my own OnlyFans account here pretty soon, and you can watch me podcast naked for a mere $5.99 a month. I only need 300 subscribers to make my...
Yeah, I got the free preview of that one.
What's the taxes like on that, do you figure? Do you have to report that?
I think you do.
It's just more paperwork. See, that's the part they never talk about in this, right? They never talk about these OnlyFans people that are paying their mortgages in 5 minutes, but they never talk about the tax implications. And how would you like to have that interview at the IRS office? So you made your money how exactly? Well,
number three. I'm just waiting. Hey, wait. I'm just waiting for someday that an IRS tax agent gets exposed for having an OnlyFans site and they lose their job because of it.
What will be even better is when you find out that he's coercing people to subscribing. You know, if you subscribe, I'll allow that deduction. Lack of control at work makes us unhappy. It's not the link. There's no link between workplace depression and heavy workload. Instead, researchers at the Department of Clinical Medicine at Aarhus University in Denmark said that work environment and feeling being treated unfairly by management can dramatically alter an employee's mood. I don't think that's the same thing as lack of control, but...
No, I don't think that is either.
But I can see where that's a problem.
It's science, Dave. You got to trust it.
I know. That's what they say. Shut up and take the shot. So here's the next one. You ready? And this one is actually kind of interesting.
Okay.
We have a good friend of the show, Alex Ross, who at one point in his varied Navy career was what we call a CWIS tech. CWIS stands for Close-In Weapon System. It's that little R2-D2 looking gun.
Okay.
That's a last ditch defense. It goes beep and shoots down missiles, right? But the thing they've had problems with it through the years is if you give it too many targets, it gets confused. And so instead of just saying F it and shooting at all of them, it just says, well, I don't know what to do, and shuts down. Right?
Yeah.
Likewise, we are unhappy because we have, quote, too much choice.
Okay, wait. So the last one was too much, you know, lack of control at work. And now we have too much choice.
Yes, we have too much choice. Choice is the buzzword of the modern age, whether it's five types of organic honey in your local super... Who the hell's buying organic honey? Anyway.
What honey isn't organic?
Exactly. Or a string of Pilates classes to select from at the gym down the road. Yes, that's always been a struggle for me.
Too many OnlyFans subscriptions choices.
Yes, that gets expensive after a while. Scientists looked into cultural ideas surrounding choice. They found that freedom and choice are less important and mean something different among non-Western cultures and working West cultures than they do for university-educated people.
Whatever.
They found that the latter group, that'd be university-educated people, which would include me now.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, you're in process.
Well, I finished my first semester.
Okay.
Straight A student, by the way. Which doesn't mean as much as it used to. Anyway, they found that these university-educated people became paralyzed by too much variety and racked with uncertainty and regret about whether they had made the right decision. This is making people unhappy.
It couldn't be that the universities are teaching that.
We cannot assume that choice, as understood by educated, affluent Westerners, is a universal aspiration, and that the provision of choice will necessarily foster freedom and well-being, said Professor Hazel Rode Marcus. She wrote that in a paper called, quote, "Does Choice Mean Freedom and Well-Being?" Okay. Ready for the next one?
I'm ready.
Poor sibling relationships.
Really?
So apparently if you don't get along with your siblings, you will be unhappy. Now, this seems to only apply to teenagers, not so much adults, I guess, which makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really... I mean, I talk to my siblings almost every day, but really,
I don't. But I'm happy.
Well, see, you should be unhappy according to this.
Well.
But then again, you're not a teenager.
No.
All right. Next one. A wandering mind makes us unhappy.
Okay, explain that one.
We all like to daydream now and again, but a 2010 study from Harvard, which was probably plagiarized, identified mind wandering as a major cause of unhappiness. They collected data from 2,200 volunteers who used, get this, a specially developed iPhone app that contacted them randomly to ask them how happy they were feeling. Nobody made the connection about, hey, wait, being on the internet makes you unhappy.
Couldn't it be the interruptions making you unhappy?
It does me. I know that. They discovered that our minds are wandering about 46.9% of the time in any given activity, and that people's feelings of happiness had more to do with where their mind was than what they were doing. Only 4.6% of a person's happiness could be attributed to what they were doing. 10.8% was caused by what they were thinking about at the time, which, if you're on OnlyFans, could be...
Well, that could contribute to what you're doing. Your mind's going to wander on that one.
Yes. To investigate whether unhappiness caused mind wandering or vice versa, the Harvard psychologists compared each person's moods and thoughts as the day went on. They found that if someone's mind wandered at 10 in the morning, and then a quarter hour later, that's 15 minutes for normal people, the person was likely to be less happy than at 10 o'clock, perhaps because of the daydream. What are these people daydreaming about? Anyway, if they were in a bad mood at 10...
There's a lack of control at work keeping them busy, Dave. They're at work at 10 o'clock and they're daydreaming.
All right, now let's get into the real causes.
I'm ready. Ready. Hit me.
The end of your favorite TV show.
Oh, yeah, that'll do it.
My favorite TV show ended in 1969, so I'm not sure that really applies, but... 403 college students from 2007-2008 Hollywood strike, when their many shows were taken off the air, they found they were unhappy. Well, there you go. I'm unhappy about the end of TV shows because of writer strikes, because you know what they replace that stuff with?
Foreign stuff.
Reality TV. Because reality TV, quote-unquote, doesn't require... Do you want to know why reality TV exploded? Because of writer strikes.
Mm-hmm.
That makes me unhappy.
It's quote-unquote unscripted.
Check.
And they don't have to pay actors is really what it is either.
Yep, and they're not members of the SAG, and they don't... So they can produce that stuff cheap and easy, and... We have to suffer through 19 seasons of the Duggars or
No. It's really, you know, it's not just the end of the favorite TV show, Dave. It's the end of binge watching the released series on like Netflix, because they drop everything, right? So you watch it all in one shot and now it's over.
Yep. Not like the old days.
No.
Of course, then we got my wife's show is, she has several, but she watches this Sister Wives.
Mm-hmm.
You ever seen this? Oh my God. Horrifying. And then there's this other one, 90 Day Fiance or something.
Yep.
That, I just, it makes me unhappy. I end up screaming at the TV. There you go. The next one, you ready? This is no big surprise. Eating junk food.
Oh, but that makes me happy.
No, it makes you unhappy.
No, dealing with customer service makes me unhappy. The food itself usually
But see,
is.
Here's the problem. They differentiate, they call it eating junk food, but then they turn junk food into fast food. If you regularly consume commercial fast food, hamburgers, hot dogs, donuts, and pizzas, you're 51% more likely to develop depression. Which makes me wonder, was Burger King trying to help us the other day when they pulled their see, if they make it more expensive, you're less likely to eat it, right?
It was Wendy's.
Wendy's, right. Wendy's. Yeah. I'm sorry, Burger King. I didn't mean
the surge pricing.
Yes. Was that the dumbest thing you'd ever seen? Yeah, that's right up there with New Coke. Except that New Coke, can you imagine New Coke, that thing happening with the internet?
Oh, no.
See, the surge pricing thing happened in the age of the internet. So literally, I mean, by the time they got out of that meeting where they announced that this was going to happen and somebody tweeted it, by the time they got out of that meeting, the entire world, 8 billion people were tweeting at them about how stupid they were.
Mm-hmm.
And then they had to figure out how they were going to walk that back. When they did New Coke, they didn't have that. They had Bill Cosby, which, of course, nobody knew at the time was a problem. But had they known, it was, oh, great. Anyway, the more fast food you consume, the greater risk of depression.
Okay.
This, however, has been challenged, as we will learn later in the show. In fact, mm-hmm. I believe that it is a lack of the proper fast foods that is causing. Overanalyzing your decisions. Oh, yeah.
Well, I'll agree with that one.
Yes. Maximizers get nervous when they see an all sales or final sign because it forces them to commit. We don't like to commit. Florida State University, that's down there in Florida, identified two types of decision makers. Maximizers, individuals who obsess over decisions, big or small, and then fret about it. And satisfiers, those who tend to make a decision and then just live with it.
Yeah, I think that's me.
I would say I'd fall into that one. And number 10, I know it's taken a while to get to this, but this was worth it. You ready? You know what the number 10 cause of being unhappy is?
Okay.
Living at high altitude.
Wait, what?
Living at high altitude. Anything over 2,000 and 3,000 feet? Suicide rates increase. The correlation is very, very high, and it happens in every single region of the United States.
Including Peru? I mean, they live pretty high up there, right?
That's not the United States.
Oh, okay, well.
Just pointing out. I find this hard to believe, having grown up in Colorado and Utah and Oklahoma.
You're such a happy guy, Dave.
Of those three places, the one most likely to convince me to commit suicide is not Colorado or Utah. Just saying, that's, you know, Kansas, what are you going to go? Anyway, if you want to know why you're unhappy, that's
send
the
us.
Scientific reasons why you are unhappy.
Yeah, send us your unhappy list, please. WTF at whatthefrock.org, if I can talk.
Make sure you have a scientist back, y'all. Stay with us. We'll be right back. We'll be right back.
Rock. Dave, are you tired of those $7 lattes that don't taste any better than they did when they cost $4 just a few years ago?
I'd say yes, but I...
You don't drink the latte.
Well, no, I mean, I go to Starbucks every day, but I usually get a tall pike with a splash of cream.
Well, Dave, stop squandering your swiftly devaluing dollars and get back to the piping hot basics with an affordable steaming cup of Java from your local fast food joint, where coffee standards have been rising as of late, according to those that know. So there's some analysis that's done behind the scenes, and so I have a list of top eight coffees from fast food places. I'm going to start at number eight. Number eight is,
you know,
for those...
You know what makes me unhappy are long lists, but go ahead.
I'll be quick, okay? Whataburger. Whataburger has great coffee, I guess, in Texas. I've not been to Whataburger, so I don't know. And I'm probably saying it wrong. It's probably Whataburger, not Whataburger. But what do I know? I'm a Californian. Number seven, Carl's Jr.'s. Number six. This is going to surprise you, Dave. McDonald's.
No, that doesn't surprise me at all. In fact, there's someone who listens to the show on a regular basis, who I won't name, but his initials are Bill,
yeah,
who will tell you that that's what he buys.
It should be higher on the list, though.
It should be. He buys McDonald's coffee for his home.
Okay. Number five, place I'd never go for coffee, White Castle.
Because we don't have them.
Yeah, well, there you go. Jack in the Box is number four.
That is true. We have a Jack in the Box, and I have been known to go there to get coffee.
Number three, Culver's.
What?
One of America's best regional fast food chains in Wisconsin.
That's where the real America
is. Wisconsin, yeah. Is now found everywhere from Arizona to Ohio. Okay.
Well, what?
It says it's now found everywhere from Arizona to Ohio.
I thought you said Ohio.
Ohio. I said it fast. And I have not been drinking, Dave, just so that you know. Number two, despite their surge pricing claims, Wendy's is number two for their coffee.
Yeah, I'm gonna reject that one.
And Dave, take a guess. What is the number one fast food place that have the rated highest rated coffee?
I should have been writing them down, because then I could have done it by process of elimination, right?
Yeah.
Burger King?
For a chicken joint, Chick-fil-A's coffee has no business being this good. Their secret? Specialty coffee beans sustainably sourced from Thrive Farmers.
See, I don't consider Chick-fil-A to be fast food.
Just $2. Yeah, so anyway. It's not so much of a WTF story, but it is in line with everything we've been talking about customer service and fast food unhappy. And yeah, so there you go.
So as we continue this discussion about what is it that, why are we so unhappy? Why?
Why, Dave?
Why are we so unhappy is the question that we, well, I don't know, have found ourselves debating and discussing and arguing about. This answer may surprise you, but stay with me here.
I genuinely think the world went downhill when McDonald's took away the $2 sausage McGriddle off the all-day menu. Genuinely. Genuinely. People used to be happier. Now what? Now what? It's like $4? You used to be able to go to McDonald's at 5:47 p.m. and get a nice little sausage McGriddle for dinner for $2. Now what? It stops at 10:30? This is why people are depressed. This is why people are anxious. If maybe we could waltz up to a McDonald's at 7 p.m. and order a sausage McGriddle for $2 again, like we used to be, people would be happier. I think it would solve a lot of issues.
Disagree or agree? She's not wrong. She is not wrong. The problem with this country is that McDonald's dropped their all-day breakfast stuff, and that's why we're all so unhappy. Mm-hmm. And I can agree to that because, as weird as this sounds, I do like an Egg McMuffin. This McGriddle thing, I'm not really.
Their breakfast is their best menu.
Right.
I would
agree with that. I used to like the junior big. See, I don't like two burgers on my burger, mm-hmm. two patties on. I just like one. The junior Big Mac was good, but the breakfast was the hands down thing. And so this past week, this gal took to the interwebs to explain to us why at 5:47 p.m. we are so unhappy. Genuinely, genuinely unhappy because McDonald's has stopped serving the McGriddles.
She certainly sells it, too. She does a really good job at making those statements. I don't know if it's a troll or not, but it is pretty good.
Here's the thing about her video about this, which is, if you haven't seen it. Well, as I said to Rod, when I first sent it to Bill and Rod, Rod was in a meeting. And he said, I can't listen to this right now. And I said, you don't need to listen to it. Just watch it. She is...
She makes her points.
Yes.
Emphatically.
Emphatically. She makes these points. Which comes back to my theory about... I'm guessing she has to have an OnlyFans, right?
I don't know, but my mind was wandering, and I was happy.
Definitely was wandering, and I was much happier just watching it. And then the comments afterwards about I'm going to hell. I need to go read my Bible. Wait, she was talking? But at the end of the day, is she wrong? Are we unhappy because McDonald's has screwed everybody over by doing away with the all-day breakfast menu?
I don't know. Send us your thoughts. WTF at whatthefrock.org. And I said it right that time.
You did say it right that time. Genuinely, people used to be happier when they could get a sausage McGriddle at 5:47 p.m. Which is the kind of thing that makes me say,
WTF?
Welcome back. I'm Rabbi Dave.
I am Friar Rod.
Did you see the story about the New York Times reporter and Chick-fil-A?
Mm-mm.
So some New York Times reporter got hired by the New York Times, and he was going to the orientation thing. You know, every business does this. We have to spend the first, 24, 48 hours of your work life, not actually doing your job, but learning about how they want you to behave at your job, right?
Yeah.
We had this at the school. We had to take a class called How to Take a Class. It's not the technical title of it, but that's what it does. It teaches you how to take online classes. But you take this class while you're taking other online classes. So,
which is kind of silly.
That's what I said was, you really ought to require this before you start the other classes. Because, by the time you finish this class, you're finishing the other class, the same semester. So. Well, whatever, dude. Anyway, so this guy's going through orientation where he gets hired, which happens to be the New York Times. And for some reason, they asked everybody in their orientation, you just one of those get to know everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Getting to know you, which are things that make me unhappy. Because I hate sharing that stuff. They asked what your favorite sandwich was.
Mm-hmm.
My favorite sandwich, for the record, happens to be a fried egg on toast with a piece of cheese. It's what I have basically every morning. Is that really my favorite sandwich? My favorite sandwich is probably a Crazy Eddie's Fair Burger, but there you go. Anyway,
Moons over my ham is on the list, though.
I'm not a big on ham. It's easy to say it's because I'm Jewish. I just don't like ham.
Okay.
I never have. And in my family, ham was a huge thing.
That could be why.
Could very well be. Same with fish sticks. I don't eat fish sticks for the same reason. Not realizing that the reason we ate fish sticks is because we didn't have a lot of choices because we didn't have too much money. So we were happy.
And it's easy. It's easy to make, right?
Anyway. So this guy makes the mistake of putting the Chick-fil-A sandwich on his thing. Which I, by the way, had yesterday, which was fantastic. He put Chick-fil-A. And apparently he got called into HR and told you can't put the Chick-fil-A sandwich on your New York Times getting to know you. What's my favorite sandwich questionnaire?
Why, Dave? Why?
Which he then turned around and wrote an article about. Well, because they don't do that there. They don't do Chick-fil-A. Because, Chick-fil-A is racist and biased and based.
Homophobic.
And they print a Bible verse on their cups.
No one says anything about In-N-Out stamping the Bible verses on the underneath side.
Oh,
of
wait a minute. Maybe it's In-N-Out that does. Oh, they say it. The difference is, and I'm going to go to hell for saying this, the difference is In-N-Out burgers are great, but their fries are just terrible. Which is not the case at Chick-fil-A. Chick-fil-A's waffle fries are fantastic. Yeah.
You don't get enough. They don't give you enough there.
No, you just buy two. Modern problems require modern solutions. Okay. Just buy two.
We need that chick to do a story about the waffle fries,
waffle
right?
Fries, that's right. People were happier when you could get large waffle fries. I'm telling you, folks, if you haven't seen this, you can. I'm tempted to link it in the show notes for today. I guess I should, because holy crap. Genuinely happier when we could get one at 5:47 p.m. Oh, my God. Anyway, I guess he got in a little hot water about it and wrote an article about it. And probably isn't a reporter for the Washington or the New York Times anymore.
Yeah.
Didn't follow the story that close. Nikki Haley is still running.
Sadly, yeah.
She's on my TV. Why?
I don't know. Maybe she's trying to be VP somehow. I don't know. I don't think the Don's going to do that, though. Because she's really posing herself as anti-Trump.
Well, so was DeSantis, and now they're talking about him as VP.
Yeah, but there's been a bit of time since he dropped out.
State of the Union's this week. I will not watch. Can't imagine why anybody would. But I mean, I guess it's like the Super Bowl, right? Sorry, the Super Bowl. You can bet on anything at the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
Who's going to score this? Who's going to do it? Will Taylor Swift get engaged? I guess you could have the same kind of betting thing on the State of the Union address. Will the president fall down?
Will he wander back and forth behind the chair looking for a way out?
Will he claim to be talking to Eleanor Roosevelt yesterday in the White House? I mean, you could get some pretty good ones, but it would be kind of a drinking game. I'm not going to do it because I have more important things to do this week. Even though the first semester is over, so we actually have a couple week break here, but Dune 2 has come out.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to see this on the big screen.
I'm seeing it today.
Are you?
No, we're going spoiler. To IMAX.
Oh, I'm trying to convince my wife to go because I think she would probably enjoy it, but then again, she's not much of a science fiction person. But
yeah. But
I made sure to watch the first one, the first half, the other day, just to kind of, I watched it when it first came out,
mm-hmm.
and I really enjoyed it. And look, the 1984 Dune is...
It's a cult classic.
It's a cult classic, but it makes me unhappy because it's so confusing. And well, the narration...
Didn't follow the books and with the weirding modules and all that.
Right. And the guy that made it didn't even like it. So
yeah.
other than the ridiculous scene with Sting fully naked.
Yeah.
With that stupid grin on his face, like, look at me, and shoving his private parts out, which then had to be digitally covered because they couldn't do that, which is why he has that ridiculous gold bathing suit on in the film, because, oh, well, we probably shouldn't show Sting's junk because that'll make people unhappy. Other than that, I mean, it's just they didn't explain things. They didn't tell a story. And they got distracted by it. So, you know, yeah, it's a cult classic, but
well, the sci-fi miniseries was good.
Haven't seen
Sci-Fi Channel. Yeah.
Haven't seen that. Tried to watch Battlestar Galactica series.
The new one?
Ran into this. Well, which one is it? Because there's like six of them. That was the first problem I ran into. And the second problem I ran into is they wanted me to pay for it.
What?
And that makes me unhappy.
Yeah, well. It's good, but back when I watched it, there was only the one. Then they started bringing out Caprica, which is another one.
Anyway, so I want to go see Dune 2, and at some point this week I'm going to go see that. And I just, I should go today because it's 25% off today,
mm-hmm.
which makes me happy because I'm saving money. But then again, I don't want to go to the first showing. Because, you know why I don't want to go to the first showing? Because they used leftover popcorn from the night before. I want to wait until the mid-afternoon when they've had to, you know, rerun the popcorn machine. Popcorn is fresh. It's that weird.
That is a little strange, Dave.
Sorry, it's just the way I am. It's what makes me happy. Too many choices of bad popcorn leave me unhappy. So anyway, Dune 2, if you have some thoughts about it, I'm sure that we'll have a review of that next week.
Yep, which sounds good.
Which will probably have spoilers because we don't care. It's a podcast, people. It's not like, oh my God, I heard it on a podcast and I couldn't stop. I couldn't hit stop, and so now I know and the movie's been ruined and I'm unhappy.
Oh,
genuinely, genuinely unhappy at 5:47 p.m. We'll get a sausage McGriddle, it'll help. And on that note, I'm Rabbi Dave.
And I am Friar Rod.
And this has been yet another adventure in...
What the Frock?